Blog Talk Radio.
We are the You Are Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. We want to welcome you to today's episode of the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes. I am the host of the show and also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network. We're glad that you're listening to one of our shows and excited that you tuned in today to this one if you're listening live, and also want to remind you that our other shows are available through podcasts on the UR Tennis Network. You can just go to iTunes and select UR Tennis, and they will come up, all of them. So we've got an exciting show today. I was able to score not one, but two University of Arkansas head coaches. Now, one is recently retired, but the other is the new one. And I'm excited to talk to Andy Jackson today and Coach Robert Cox. Both of those coaches are very good in the NCAA ranks, and Coach Cox has a junior college background as well, so we're going to share some stories about that as we go along today, and excited to have both of them on the air, and they'll be coming on here shortly, and we're going to go with Coach Jackson first, the way I understand it, and then we'll go with Coach Robert Cox after that. So the college news that I have for today is some college news that comes out of the Milan World Team Tennis, which just recently concluded its season. And let me say that I have been watching some of this, and I enjoy it. I get to see some good college players out there and contributing to some pro tennis, and that's exciting. I have become a fan of somewhat of the format and for what it's doing there for TV tennis. I'm just not a big fan of that court, and I hope that they'll do something about that. But that's just a personal opinion. It doesn't seem like it promotes too much except just weirdness. So, and that's just a personal opinion about that. So, but anyway, the Milan World Team Tennis, and I was glad to see that they partnered with Milan because it does represent a strong partnership for them both, and their messages help each other out. But the Washington Castles became the second team in history to three-peat as the World Team Tennis Finals after they defeated the Springfield Blazers on Sunday. They beat them 25-12, and that was on TV if you missed it, but they came out and kicked some butt is what happened there. And in that format, you have to be careful with the overtime, although I don't quite understand that. As long as you win, then you win, and if you lose that last set, then you've got a chance, the underdog team, to come back and win, but I won't get too much into it. But they announced their winners of their awards after the conclusion of the season, and lo and behold, three of the four award winners were college players, which is really good to see. The first one was Bobby Reynolds, who played at Vanderbilt. And he's been on the Washington Castles and been a part of all three teams, was named the World Team Tennis Finals MVP, and he kicked butt in the finals, and he won 10 games from the 13 that he played in his two sets for the Castles team, and, you know, he can't do much better than 10. That's winning both sets, so... The other player, the male player, that another male player that got an award was Steve Johnson, the tennis male rookie of the year. He was the number two men's singles player in the league, amassing a 62-47 record for the season. So he was played at USC, those of you that don't know, and is sometimes called one of the greatest college tennis players ever to play in the history of the sport. And carried quite a dual match record while at USC, and capped his career with an unprecedented 72 match win streak. So the other one, the World Team Tennis male MVP, was Jean-Julien Rojer, and he played for the Springfield Lasers. He had the fortunate ability all season long to get to play doubles with Andy Roddick, and I watched him several times, and this guy was quite the doubles player. He was 66-45 in men's doubles and 60-53 in mixed doubles with a 56% winning percentage. And Rojer played at UCLA and was four times an NCAA All-American in singles and doubles. So I enjoy the college tennis scene, and I'm glad that they got to participate in the Milan World Team Tennis. And I wish that they would expand and offer more and more teams. It's just a positive for tennis. And during the summer, in such a downtime with so many people looking for something to do, whether it be watch it on TV or look for it, compared to baseball, I'd rather watch World Team Tennis. So, let me see here. I think I've got the Coach Jackson on the line, so let me play a quick commercial, and then I'll bring him in.
This is Jason Haynes, CEO of the UR Tennis Network. We are proud to announce the 2013 summer camp season has begun. At USSportCamps.com, you can plan out a Nike tennis camp experience. These are offered to both adults and juniors for day and overnight camps. Visit USSportCamps.com to pick up a brochure and join over 50,000 youth who say yes to our summer camp experience. Join a Nike tennis camp at www.ussportcamps.com or call us at 1-800-NIKE-CAMPS. In 2013, let our summer camps be your victory. Choose the Nike tennis camps and take your game to the next level.
All right, if you have a question today for Coach Jackson or myself, you can call in at 714-583-6853. Hello, Coach Jackson. Are you there?
I'm there. How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing well. I'm having a good afternoon. This always gives me a break from the Texas heat in the middle of the day, so I welcome this opportunity to get on the phone and visit with you guys.
Great. So you are here in Arkansas as well.
Yeah. So you recently joined the Arkansas University up there back in June. That's when they hired you. And I'm curious, first I guess what we ought to do is let people know who you are. So why don't you introduce yourself first, Coach Jackson, then I'll go with my tough question.
Sure. Well, my name's Andy Jackson. I've been a head tennis coach in the SEC for, this will be my 29th year. I was 17 years at Mississippi State, and then I was 11 years at Florida. It's my 28th year. Then 1 year I was out, which was last year, and then lucky enough to be back in the game at Arkansas about a couple months ago. So looking forward to getting back into the college tennis scene.
And Coach, you have been in the SEC for a long time, and what I'm curious about here is what drew you out of, and I call it retirement when you walk away for whatever reason, and brought you back into college tennis?
Well, I missed it a lot. My whole adult life has been with the structure of, having individual practices in the morning and the team practice in the afternoon and having the competition, on the weekends, particularly in the SEC. So I have always loved it, but, having a year where I didn't get to do it just made me understand even more how much it meant to me. And, that's basically the reason why I wanted back in, was because I missed it so much. And, with the opportunity to get back in the SEC, those jobs are difficult to come by, and a lot of times there's not one open in the summer, or sometimes three, four summers. So I got really lucky to get on here at Arkansas, and very excited about it.
Well, Arkansas has been doing a lot to bring forth a good program there in the SEC, and they made a great move here in hiring one of America's best college coaches. I'm curious, as you get back into it, since it is kind of it was old and easy to do, and then you lost it for a little bit and getting back into it. What have you been doing this summer?
Well, this summer I've been making the transition, moving to Arkansas, and we are getting ready to, or we have hired, hasn't been released yet, but I guess I'll do that right here on your show. We hired one of my former players, Nestor Bacino, to be our assistant coach. Nestor played for us at Florida and is the fifth All-American, fifth most winningest player in Florida history. Was about 750 ATP when he came to school, and we won some SEC championships, went to the Final Four with him being as a leader. So we've hired him, and then the rest of the summer has been just trying to reconnect with the recruiting resources. You know, being out of it a year, you know, time passes you by quick. So I've had to, you know, get back up on the horse and learn the ropes again, you know, try to get some kids to come to Arkansas.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's a little different destination than Florida, but I've been to the University of Arkansas. It is a great place, and Fayetteville is a wonderful community.
Yeah, I've been to Arkansas, you know, many, many times from being the coach at Mississippi State and then at Florida. So I knew how nice the university was, and the tennis facility here is outstanding. I didn't know Fayetteville nearly as much, because when you're on the road in athletics, you really just go to the hotel, to the courts, and then back. And Fayetteville's a really nice, pretty place, and it's a place where I feel like that you can be consistently top quality in men's tennis. So we've been down a little bit the last few years, but I believe we can be competitive in the SEC, which means you're basically competitive in the nation. But it's going to take some hard work, and I'm willing to do it and excited to get a chance to do it.
Yeah, now your roster, do you have any holes that you have to fill immediately? Are they all taken care of?
Well, we've got 11 guys on our roster, so our roster is pretty deep. But it's a roster that hasn't had much success. So we are looking really hard for a player in January, but it needs to be a high-impact player. You know, we're not really looking for a body. We're looking for somebody that can win at the top of the lineup and, in the conference, which is difficult and will be difficult to find. But then for next year, we've got five seniors, so there is quite a bit of roster movement for the following year. So there's a lot to be done on the recruiting trail, and that's always fun. That's always the lifeblood of any kind of college program is the recruiting, and we're into it about as strong as we can go right now.
Yeah, I know those kids will be excited to get you there to teach them how to play this great game. Do you have any spots in particular of those kids that you've seen or heard of on the roster that you might be able to do some things with?
Yeah, you know, the guys that will be seniors, I competed against them as a coach, you know, for 2 years in Florida. And obviously, last year I didn't. So I've seen five or six of the guys on the team up close and personal, you know, for a couple of competitions. So even though they haven't won a lot of matches, you know, the matches with us, with the Gators, were competitive, and they do have some talent. Last year they won a number of doubles points against the very best teams in the country. And, you know, Coach Cox, a good friend of mine, has always done a good job of coaching. So I think that as seniors, with a little bit more work this year, that hopefully we can get over the hump and make that NCAA tournament and knock on the door for top 25, or at least that's what our major goals are going to be. So, yeah, I'm excited about the season and these guys we've got.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I have to ask, do you know when your first SEC opponent is?
Oh, yeah. The SEC sets the schedule. So it's been out for some time, and our first SEC match will be here in Fayetteville on the 28th of February, we'll play the Vanderbilt Commodores, who had two very strong seasons these last 2 years. So we'll have our work cut out for us, but we're going into that one to win it, I can assure you.
Now, there's some debate here in Texas and whether the SEC got stronger when they added the Texas A&M Aggies, but, you know, it is a...
I think that's a losing debate. Of course, I'm prejudiced towards the SEC, and I love the University of Texas, but there's not a conference that's ever been that wouldn't get stronger adding Aggies or the Longhorns or some other schools in Texas, for that matter. I'm sure I can speak for the SEC saying that we're really, really excited to have the Aggies in the conference.
Well, I'm excited to hear that, Coach. But it does add another kind of chance to get into some maybe some different recruiting areas for you up there at Arkansas, doesn't it?
It does. You know, at Mississippi State, we recruited mostly international, and at Florida, even though we had some internationals, we basically recruited the state of Florida. And so, you know, being at Arkansas, we've got that what's called the border state scholarship, where we can give in-state tuition to kids in Texas, Louisiana, Missouri, Kansas. You know, so that's going to mean that I'm going to be recruiting in some states that I haven't been in, you know, and 28 years into it, it's always refreshing to be able to, you know, do something you haven't done before. So I'm looking forward to, you know, getting into Texas and butting heads with the Aggies and Longhorns and the Baylor Bears and, you know, those schools. I'm looking forward to that challenge and getting into Texas a little bit.
Well, you know, there's always that debate on which conference is the toughest out of the Big Three, and I say the SEC, the Pac-25, and the
I like it.
You know, they call themselves the Big 12, but they're only eight in there. But I don't quite understand all this. But of those three conferences, you put yourself there in Arkansas to get into tangles with a lot of those schools.
Yeah, you know, last year there's 13 teams in the men's SEC conference. Missouri doesn't have a men's team, but 12 of the 13 in our conference last year went to the NCAA. So that's a very strong conference. And, you know, since I've been in, you know, the 28 years I've been in the league, the men's side of it has been, in my opinion, the best conference in terms of depth, you know, and in my opinion, the Pac-10 has been the best conference in terms of the teams at the top. It's not that the SEC haven't had some top teams. Florida's been good. Georgia's been good. Ole Miss, Mississippi State's been good, like at the, say, the top five level. But I don't think anybody has rivaled our conference, the SEC, in terms of the depth, and Pac-10's been superior in terms of the top of it, in my opinion.
No, I agree, Coach. I think that it often it's harder for an SEC team to go out and win the team championship because you guys have battled so hard in your dual match schedule that these other conferences don't have it near as tough.
Well, that's a double-edged sword. I think that you bring up a good point. If you're not physically fit and mentally tough, the SEC can break you. But if you are physically fit and if you are mentally tough, the SEC can hone you to, you know, a razor sharp edge, which I think gives you a big advantage in the NCAA tournament. So you can use it either way, and I've always felt like we did a pretty good job at State and at Florida of using it, you know, as a positive. You know what, the 20 of the last 22 years, the teams that we've coached have been in the Sweet 16 or better, and I think a big part of that's been because of the big competitive advantage you get from playing those great teams in the SEC week after week, and hopefully we can reproduce that effort at Arkansas. I'm confident we can.
Yeah. And now your fall schedule, what does it look like?
Well, we're not going to be as busy as I usually have been in the fall. We, you know, my teams have usually played somewhere between 5 and 6 individual tournaments in the fall. We're going to cut that back to about 3 this fall because I want to have some more practice time with the guys since I don't know them, you know, I didn't recruit them, and I don't know them. I think it's going to be pretty important for us to spend a lot of up-close and personal time, as they say, on the court this fall We're only going to play three. We'll play the SEC Fall Tournament, which is in Nashville, and we'll play the All-American in Tulsa, and the ITA Regional, which is in Tulsa as well. So those are going to be our three fall events, and then get it started in January with the dual match schedule and hopefully make that NCAA tournament.
Yes, sir. Now, I have to ask, I'm a small college guy. Do you have some interdivisional play there beginning in the spring season whenever it starts?
Well, you know, I wish that the NCAA hadn't done that, but they won't give you credit for playing, you know, the small schools anymore, and they give you, you know, only 25 weeks of competition. So, unfortunately, we can't, you know, afford to do that, and almost no SEC team does that anymore. It's a shame because, you know, there's so many of those good small colleges that you could place. They give you the opportunity to do it, but just not really something you can work out with the rules anymore.
Yeah, I always liked it because it gave you a chance being at a bigger university to play the lower lineup players and get them some matches. It was good to see the small colleges get to say, well, we traveled up to the University of Arkansas and played there.
Sure, I think it's good for – I think competition, in my opinion, is always good, you know, regardless of the way you arrange it. So I wish they'd let us play more, and if we could play more, then we could play more of those type matches. But, you know, they didn't call me and ask me, as I tell the players a lot. They usually don't consult with Coach Jackson at the NCAA level.
I'm not getting those calls either, Coach. So, you know, and we talk about college tennis all the time here, but nobody wants to know the correct way to do things.
Now that we've got Coach Cox in the administration side of it, I know he's coming on here in a little bit. Maybe you can get him on that, Casey. He can get almost anything done.
I like that idea. Give him something to do. That's for sure.
Well, you know, I think they got him pretty busy up here already. He's in the facilities getting ready for the football games, and he's really been a big help to me because he's been a friend for so long, and he's knows everything about Arkansas and Arkansas tennis, and just somebody that's helped me and so many kids up here in Arkansas for so long. He's just a great guy.
Yes, sir. I will agree with that. I'm going to ask, what when you look at your lifespan as a coach, and you look at today's athlete that you get when you step on court there in the SEC, what's one of the biggest changes you see in their difference?
Well, you know, I'm 51 years old now, so I'm getting to be one of those older coaches. So I can remember when I was a player and the coaches were talking about that kids had changed. And, you know, I've kind of tried to always have a goal of mine as a coach to understand that it's usually the old people that are changing more than the young. You know, I think the young guys, the young players, they don't really change, you know, that much, in my opinion. You know, they want to be successful. I think they want to be coached. I think that, you know, they want to work hard. Now, of course, you know, the technology changes. You know, the world's a lot smaller place. But I think the human nature and the young kids, I don't think that they've changed as much as people say that they do. I really don't. Now, tennis changes a lot. You know, the tennis that we're playing in the SEC, you know, it doesn't resemble anything like when I was playing, watching, you know, Paul Anacone or Michael Pernfors. You know, it's the strings and the rackets and, you know, the balls and all that stuff. I think the game has changed more than the kids have changed.
Yeah, well, I think you're right in part of that respect. I think technology over the last 10 to 15 years itself, you know, what you say with strings making the biggest difference, have really kind of equalized some of this playing field out.
No, That's right. You know, when I played, it was a big advantage to come forward because you put pressure on the guy. And these new strings, you know, if you don't come in on a very aggressive shot, you know, it's just not the advantage it was back in the day. Now, I think that it has come back around a little bit now where most of the guys in the top 100 can play an all-court game because you got to be able to finish at the net. Not necessarily, you know, chipping and charging like Paul Anacone would do, but, you know, you almost none of those guys in the top 100 anymore you know, or guys that are helpless at the net. You know, almost all of them can do all, have a few skills at all parts of the court, which I think is really important. And one of the things that we'll try to, you know, get our guys to be able to do is to be all court players.
Coach, are you a fan of the 7-point system in regards to when you play a dual match, or would you rather it be 9 points so that the doubles maybe counted a little bit more?
Well, it's, you know, I've been around a long time, and I played and coached when it was 9, and I've played and I've coached a lot now that it's 7. And I think the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems we got promoting our game in the college is that, you know, our format's too long. And I was always better doubles player than singles, and I love the doubles, but I think we got to figure out some way to get that match down to 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and have a way for us to be able to be televised. So I'm not a big fan of the 7, you know, point format because I think it's too long. You know, maybe there'd be a way for us to play things simultaneously with, say, maybe 4 singles and a doubles at one time. I don't have all the answers, you know, except that I do feel pretty strongly that we got to shorten it if we want to become a spectator sport.
Yeah, yeah. And the doubles, do you think that it's emphasized enough, or should we embrace it a little more?
Well, the college coaches, I think, are among the international leaders in emphasizing the doubles. With the doubles coming first in that 7-point system, you know, so many of the good pros have come out of college, and I think a lot of that is because of the coaching and the importance that college coaches put on the doubles and have for decades. So I'm not sure at the ITF level and at the ATP level that it's as serious or if maybe they can make some changes, but I think it's pretty healthy, the doubles game in the at the college system. I think it's the format more that I would have a wish to change, you know, more than, say, emphasizing the doubles.
Right. Right. I understand, Coach. And, you know, I read in your biography, I have to ask, were you you're related to a famous couple of Jacksons, is that right?
Yeah, I have the honor of being a descendant of President Jackson and General Jackson. I'm really proud that my grandfather was a genealogist and traced us back to those people. And, you know, my name's Andy Jackson, but honestly, my dad didn't name me after, or my mom and dad didn't name me after the president. My dad's best friend was a guy by the name of Andy Blaine, and so I just was named after him, but most people think it's the president. And I've got that genealogy tree up on my wall, so people give me a hard time when I say my name's Andy Jackson. They say, "Oh, like the president," and then I'll be able to point to that genealogy and go, "Yeah, exactly." And try to turn the tables on them a little bit.
Oh, very good. Well, now, do you want to stay on a little while with Coach Cox, or do you want to get on out of here? You've got some other things to do?
Well, it's not. I don't have a lot of other things to do, but I don't want to steal Coach Cox's time. I believe you better. He'll have enough to talk about on his own.
Well, I appreciate that. And I usually have you on for a whole hour. I hope in the future I can get you back on the air. We can talk some more college tennis.
Anytime you want, I'd be happy to.
All right. Very good, Coach. Well, I appreciate it. And have a great rest of the summer.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That was unexpected a couple of days ago, Coach Andy Jackson, and he is big in the SEC, big in American tennis, and big in college tennis, and we were glad to have him come on and share some time with us today. And I want to thank the guy that's coming on the air for setting that up, because he helped give away about 25 minutes of his time and let Coach Jackson come on. So I'll bring him in now. Let me give out the call-in number again. That's 714-583-6853. If you have a question, just feel free to call in, and I'll bring in Coach Robert Cox. Are you there, Coach Cox?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. Welcome to the show. And normally the way I start the show is I let people introduce themselves, so why don't you go ahead and do that?
Well, my name is Robert Cox, and I am a former Razorback head tennis coach here. I just completed 26 years, and as you just got through talking with Coach Jackson, boy, we sure hit a home run and made a great hire to follow me, and we're really, really excited to obviously have Andy Jackson here leading the Razorback men's program. But no, I've enjoyed my time here, and it's time for a change, and we're really embracing Coach Jackson and what he's going to bring, and really excited about the future.
Yeah, you bet. I think it's, like you said, it's a great hire, and I was really surprised that I thought Coach Jackson was done when he left Florida and wasn't going to do any more college coaching, and then to pick up there at Arkansas, that's a great great hire for you guys in the SEC.
Oh, for sure. You know, Andy not only is so respected amongst the men's coaches, but well respected, you know, for all tennis coaches, men and women. You know, of course, I'm sure he told you he coached women at Mississippi State and was successful on the women's side. And man, you know, what an impact he's made on college tennis, you know, in the last 24 years on the men's side. So, and I'm just really looking forward to watching him run the program and watching these guys compete in the future.
You bet. Well, Coach, you know, we're going to talk some college tennis here ourselves, and I know that you've retired from it, so maybe you can remember a few things that happened in your time there. But I wanted to start, and you started with junior college tennis when you got into college coaching. Is that correct?
I sure did. You know, I grew up in a real small town, Palestine, Texas, and, you know, tennis in the early 70s was starting to be a big hit, and I wasn't a excuse me on this thing. I was not good enough to make the football or basketball team coming up in high school, and fell into tennis. And I apologize for that phone.
No, it's all right, Coach.
I'm in an office. I'm in a barred office right now. But but no, I got into tennis and was lucky enough to be a player at Tyler Junior College. Coach Fred Niffen is the legendary junior college coach, recruited me. And Tyler Junior College was only 45 minutes away from Palestine. So that seemed like the natural progression for me in my game to go to a junior college. And I stumbled early on, but under Fred Niffen's guidance, I was lucky enough to be a part of a junior college team that finished fifth in the country, and my partner and I made it to the finals of the NJCAA doubles. We didn't win it, but we lost in the finals, and back then it was a 256 draw, so
oh, wow.
It was quite a feat, even in doubles. Junior college tennis back then was much bigger than it is now. I mean, it was something. It was huge singles draw, 256 doubles draw, and I'm telling you, it was held in outside of Phoenix, and what a grind that was. But we were lucky enough to make it to the finals. So, and then I went on to the University of Arkansas. Coach Tom Pucci recruited me, really based off that junior college result, and I played here for the Razorbacks. So I'm very unique that. I've coached at both places where I played at and where I competed as a student athlete.
Yeah, it does make you very unique.
But, you know, I could, you know, and I will talk about junior college tennis a little bit. I mean, what a great stepping stone it is. If you're a young man or young lady that really doesn't possess a high national ranking and maybe the Division I or Division II program is maybe looking for higher ranked players, and you fall through the cracks, hey, go to a junior college. What a great proven ground it is. There's some great junior college coaches, great junior college programs. You get 2 years to develop and grow and mature both on and off the court, and then, you know, you're lucky. If you're lucky and you have some good success, 2 years down the road you get to go through that recruiting process again and pick and choose and kind of pursue your dreams to play at a little bit higher level, Division I, Division II, even Division III, or even NAI. You know, as you know, there's some great programs out there and it's very competitive across the board. But a lot of people kind of look at the junior college and say, no, I don't want to go there. It has a bad rap. But I'm here to tell you it is alive and well. It may not be as big in numbers, but it is still a good quality avenue for a young man or young lady that really can't step right into a Division I or two or three program.
Yeah. Coach, you're not going to hear much griping out of me. I'm a small college guy, and it's nice to hear and refreshing to hear Division I coach talk that way about JC tennis. It does award an opportunity, and that's, I think, what you're trying to hit upon here is if somebody else is not maybe giving you that opportunity, don't shy away from considering junior college tennis.
You better believe it. I recruited junior college players, and they had great success here at Arkansas. Back in the day, Midland Junior College had a great program, and Joe Williams was producing some great Division I players, going really primarily through the Texas schools. But when you look at junior college tennis, there's just great opportunity there, and I just hope that the junior colleges and the community college continue to support college athletics in general, but especially tennis. You get some great young men and young women that represent their schools in the classroom and on the court, and it's a great alternative, and it's one of those that I think it's kind of been lost a little bit by some of these American juniors and international juniors that are graduated from high school. I think junior college tennis maybe could do a little bit better at getting themselves out and promoting themselves a little bit more because they have a great, great product.
Yeah, it's difficult on that kid, that American junior, to come down. There's just not a lot of prestige in going to a JC. And what's funny about those same kids is once you get them on the campus and they hang out with the team, and they're the first ones to say, yeah, I'll stay.
You better believe it. You take a young man and put him, or a young lady, and put him in any program at any level. You put him in there for one semester. Once they start bonding with the coach, the school, fellow athletes, in other sports, their teammates, their tennis teammates, when you're living with them and live with each other and you lift weights and eat together and your social life is really with each other, they bond very, very quickly, and it doesn't matter if you're at a junior college or Division III, II, or I, or NAIA program. These kids really bond to those programs, and especially the sport of tennis. It's an individual sport, but college is so unique that it makes it a great team sport as well. But you're right, the small colleges, they play just as hard, and they bleed just as much as these Division I programs, and a win for a small college means just as much to that program, to those kids, to that team, as it does any Division I school. I mean, it's all relative, and the feelings and the emotions are exactly 100% the same.
Yeah. Coach, you stayed there at TJC just a short period of time, and then went up to Arkansas. I wanted to ask, What's one of the first things you brought to that University of Arkansas tennis team that wasn't there?
Well, Tyler, I was real lucky to follow Fred Niffen, the legendary junior college coach. And, he left me a pretty good program there on both men and women. And I was a coach at both programs, and we were fortunate enough to win a couple of national championships. And I used a lot of the coaching techniques on and off the court that Fred Niffen taught me when I was a player, and then, of course, Tom Pucci here at the University of Arkansas when I was a student-athlete here. He had a big impression on me and my fellow teammates here at Arkansas on what it takes to be a successful student-athlete on and off the court. So, really, I just, if you could say, plagiarized from my, yeah, my fellow coaches and other coaches. We just brought some excitement back to Arkansas tennis. When I arrived, it wasn't in best of shape, but we've had such good success over the years, and it was very easy to turn it around. You get that Arkansas spirit going and create the culture of doing the right thing on and off the court and in the classroom. And once you got that going and headed the right direction, hey, the University of Arkansas and the Arkansas spirit and the Razorback spirit kind of carried through me into the players. And, you know, we got great facilities and great sponsorship throughout our athletic department and great support. So it was easy to turn around, and we enjoyed some success. And I had my highs and lows of college tennis, and I sure wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Well, I'm sure of that, Coach. And when you look back on it, what are some of the changes that you saw in the game, kind of good and bad?
Well, of course, when I first started coaching, we were, I guess I'll talk a little bit about the format. I know right when I came on, I heard you and Coach Jackson talking about the format. And, of course, when I first came on as a coach, we were still playing the old 6-3 format, which is the format that I played when I was in school in the 70s. And, you know, it just took forever to play a dual match, especially if you were limited to four courts. And we had four indoor courts here at the University of Arkansas when I first arrived. And, you know, you had to play six singles, two out of three, and then you had to wait and then follow it up with three full double, two out of three set doubles. And, you know, it took forever. And I think one of the greatest positive changes was, I guess, in the early 90s is when we did make that change to the 3-6 and go with the pro set for the doubles followed by the six singles. I think that is very exciting, and it's probably the greatest change that I've seen, and it was the most positive change. And I think you can whittle it down to and again, I don't know the answer either, to a 4-1 or even a five singles and one doubles, and the doubles counts as 2 points, to put a little strategy in there where you can, and I really like that format because you use seven student athletes all at once. And right now, you know, you can, you know, there's a lot of us, and I say us, coaches, that primarily use maybe six student athletes, you know, in the 3-6, the same six play doubles and singles. Well, with that 5-1 format simultaneously, it uses a minimum of seven. So you're actually getting more, you know, you get one more student athlete a chance to get out there. But college tennis, I think, is healthy. I think you have to have a lot of night matches. Fortunately, we were here at Arkansas where we had a great facility, indoor facility, where we could play a lot of good night matches. We have six courts in a row, and we can draw well. We do very well in fan support, and especially with the night matches. When you're playing on a Wednesday or a Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock, it's tough to get anybody out there, whether you're top 25 or top 100 team. It's very tough to fill the stands on a Friday afternoon or a Wednesday afternoon. So, you know, I would promote a lot more night matches, you know, get these coaches to bite the bullet, work with each other because that visiting coach has to come in the day before practice. He spends the night, stands around all day, you know, practice again, and then the match starts at 5 or 6, and then he has to spend another night. So that's the downside of it, student athlete missed class time and the cost of it. So, but I still think that there is a way to, you know, maybe start them at 4, 5 o'clock maybe. And if you're playing a regional match, the visiting team can drive and that would make it work. So, just a few thoughts.
Yeah, I live in an ideal world. I just think you ought to put all nine of them out there at one time and just play them and just see what happens.
Yeah, it would be great if you could have 12 student athletes, you know, three doubles and six singles going all at once. But there's a lot of facilities that obviously don't have the courts. But you know, I really like the 3-6. The doubles is so exciting, and those pro sets are very, very exciting. You know, we all thought when we first made the change that, hey, one break and it was over with, and our doubles pro set was done, and obviously that's not the case. Those things, there's lots of momentum swings back and forth, and, you know, a pro set is just long enough. It usually lasts a little bit over an hour. The fans love it. They get into it. There's a lot of emotion in that doubles. So I wouldn't mind a little bit of a change, but I sure like, you got to keep doubles in there somewhere.
Yeah. Coach, do you think there are too many internationals in college tennis?
Oh, well, that's kind of a loaded question, but, you know, I've coached a number of years, and, you know, we get that all the time, and I think the international student-athlete has brought something great to American college tennis. It's raised the level of play, and it, you know, shines a spotlight on American tennis a little bit. And, you know, we had a lot of Americans here at Arkansas, and, of course, at Tyler Junior College, we had both international and Americans, and I think it's very, very healthy. You know, is there too many? I don't know. I don't know what the right ratio is, but all I know is these internationals do bring a lot to our campus, a lot to our program. They blend in well. Some of them learn to be team players. They haven't been team players in the past. They learn it. Some of my Americans, when we had them, they weren't very good team players either. So it's, you know, you can't really point the finger at the internationals being a better team player than the Americans or vice versa. They, you know, tennis is such an individual sport in some regard that each individual player is a little bit different and is kind of wired a little bit differently and from each other. Some of my internationals have come from great soccer backgrounds, you know, as for example, and they bring a great team camaraderie to the program. And some of my Americans have done nothing but tennis throughout their junior career and haven't even played a team sport. So, and vice versa. So, you know, I think it's a healthy balance right now. Again, I'm not the expert on how many, you know, junior college limits the number of athletic aid they give to the internationals, and there's still plenty of international student athletes on the junior college level. They're paying their way. So,
yeah. Do you think that the NCAA will ever limit roster spots?
Well, you mean to international?
Or just yeah, just like they did at JC.
Yeah, I doubt that will ever, you know, the international student athletes, they're in a lot of sports, you know, track and field, basketball, and every now and then you'll see a football player, you know. So, no, I don't think the NCAA is any in position to try to limit the opportunities, especially at public institutions that, you know, we have a good, healthy population of international students, non-athletic international students here at Arkansas and at all universities. I'm sure you have a large population of international students. So, no, I don't think the NCAA would be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because we have that argument at the JC level on we're not quite sure how they were able to limit spots, but they did it, and then we had to oblige by it. But we realized that, you know, we hear that a lot from the upper colleges, just that rule would never fly at their level.
Yeah, I think you would really have to go into the universities themselves, and I don't think they would ever, you know, I don't want to use the word discriminate, but I don't think they could do that. I don't think they could.
Yeah.
If an international student wants to come to the University of Texas and pay their way and they meet all the entrance requirements, I think so be it. You know, and I think,
yeah,
the junior college, how they did that, the ins and outs, you know, I wouldn't begin to comment or even begin to know how or what the mechanics of that and on how they got that done.
Coach Cox, I have to ask you, and since you've been involved in college tennis, and I know you have a interest in tennis in general, what do you think the status is of just American tennis in general, pro tennis?
Well, you know, and of course I've been in collegiate tennis for 29 years, and you know, I think it's alive and well. I think you know, I'm not out there in the trenches and at these clubs, but we have a very good, healthy Northwest Arkansas Tennis Association, or we used to have the association where all the clubs worked together and they were growing the game, and I think the tennis camps around the country are really booming. I know here at the University of Arkansas, we had a real healthy tennis camp this last summer with a lot of juniors. So, you know, I think if we can promote the sport and if we keep on doing what we're doing here at Arkansas and you play night matches and get the cheerleaders out and give away all the free pieces and do promotions and, you get these young kids out here and promoting tennis. You get rackets in their hands, and they get out, and I think the little 10 and under tennis is going well. I think it's I think there is a bump. I think it is growing. I think a few years ago, I think it was in jeopardy. Now, the level, if you're talking about the level of pro tennis and say the lack of the American pros, man, I sure enjoyed watching Isner this last weekend win the Atlanta tournament, and was really proud of Isner and, you know, Anderson, both former college players, to come through the college system and to do well now on the pro circuit. So I think there's a little bump, and I think in my mind, when they talk about the status of American tennis, I think it's really at the grassroots level on the involvement of the pros and the involvement of some of the grassroots programs to grow the game and promote the game. And I think it's healthy from all my friends that teach the game that are out in the trenches. I think it's alive and well.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask there in Arkansas. And we're curious about this a lot of times, is the minority participation. Do you see minorities contributing to the local tennis scene?
Well, here, you know, my former assistant, Eduardo Rincon, was a, you know, he was an American citizen now, but he was Colombian. And we had a minority even tennis clinic that he even ran and promoted. And so I think, I know in this area, yes, we're very well represented in that area. We've had a lot of minorities on our teams, and I think nationwide, you look at pro tennis and college tennis, I think all minorities are represented in a healthy way. I think that has been an increase in my years of coaching. You know, the days of having a one-dimensional team is gone. I think it's sprinkled not only with the international student athletes, but all minorities.
Yeah, well, very good. Well, I'm going to ask about the University of Arkansas, and I'm just curious, in your years of being there, what were some of the big changes you noticed in the tennis program?
I think we were always plugged into the community, and I take a lot of pride in that. We reached out and to the local clubs, and we had our share of little, not necessarily fundraisers, but we would have functions with local clubs, and I think we grew our fan base there. We didn't just sit around and build a fence around the courts and not invite clubs in and juniors in to play. Now, we were a little restrictive of having open tournaments at our facility, but I think we did a good job of reaching out to the local clubs and pros here while I was here, and we take good pride in that. And I think we made a good positive change and influence with some of the adult leagues, and they showed up in droves at our matches too, and they gave back to us. So I think that was one of the changes. Of course, our facility, we have a beautiful 6-court indoor, 10-court outdoor. We can seat 1,500 on our outdoor facility, even squeeze in a little more. And there's nothing like a college dual match. I'll kind of switch gears a little bit, but boy, when you put 400 or 500 rabid Razorback fans in our indoor facility, it sounds like 4,000 or 5,000. And college tennis, man, it is fun. There is nothing like a good dual match. You get three doubles out there that are very spirited first, and they're going at it. And you have everything in college tennis. You'll have some calls. You'll have some arguments going on, but it's all healthy. It's really healthy. You have that little controversy going on between the kids and the umpires, and you're cheering every match. And, oh, man, you're getting me going now. It is something else. And to have that fan interaction that we have at our indoor facility and our outdoor as well, it's really second to none. I really enjoy a great, great dual match, and you have all the momentum changes. And, I think, if anything, it's a great product that needs to be seen, and we're real proud of what we've done here and the way we've grown our fan base here at Arkansas.
Well, it's been an era. Now, if I'm right, you did see the construction of the indoor facility while it was there. Did you help out with the outdoor as well?
Well, in 1981, I graduated in 78, and in 1981, we have a legendary track coach, John McDonald, who has won 42 or 41 national championships in track. And then he and the existing tennis coach at that time, Tom Pucci, got together, and they built this indoor facility, and it was a track and four-court indoor tennis facility. So you had four indoor courts with a 200-meter track around it. And about 10 years ago or 12 years ago, we took that facility completely over. The University of Arkansas built a new track facility. So all the track program, both men and women, they went to this new facility. So we took possession of the existing track and tennis facility and added two more courts. And so we have six courts in a row, and it is just phenomenal. And we kind of refurbished it. We have great locker rooms. We have a great training room. We have coaches' offices, a conference room. We have a club level for our fans that we serve food. We have receptions before and after matches. We do reunions at this club level. And the club level is very unique. It looks over the outdoor courts as well as the indoor courts. So it's very unique that the club level does tie in the indoors and outdoor facilities. So I was a part of that. We had a good fundraising, a couple of years of getting out there and raising money for this facility, and we're real proud of it. And we think it's on par with any facility in the SEC.
Well, very good, Coach. Last question I have for you today is and just help us understand what you're going to be doing there at Arkansas now.
Well, I've kind of moved over and made the transition to facilities, so I'm on the other end of the phone. In the past, for 26 years, if I needed something done to the tennis courts, the indoors or outdoors, or windscreens, or resurfacing, or equipment, I would pick up the phone and call the facilities people. Well, now I'm on the other end of the phone. So it's a very eye-opening experience. I'm very impressed with what goes on in college athletics on a facility standpoint. There's a lot of moving parts. It's very interesting. Right now I'm doing a lot of listening, not much talking, but I'm really excited about the new phase in my career, and I'm really pleased to be here and continue to work for the University of Arkansas. And I will say, and I want to throw this in before I get off here, Chuck Creasy was a great influence in my coaching. As a young coach, I called him up several times once I met him, and he was so good to me, offering great advice when a young coach at the University of Arkansas really didn't know what he was doing early on. And I really appreciate Coach Chuck Creasy. I know he's a regular guest on your show, and I wanted to publicly thank him. He has no idea what he meant to me, and I'm sure there's lots of coaches out there that can say the same thing.
Yeah, he's a great man. He always gives back. That's what I love about Coach Creasy. That's for sure. Well, Coach, I appreciate the visit today. It's been quite an honor to get to visit with you. Normally I ask coaches to give out their email address, but there's no reason to give out an email address to you.
Yeah, unless they want to know about Razorback facilities. I sure appreciate it, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk to Coach Jackson. And we're so excited that he's here, and what a great guy, and we're real pleased to have him here on board.
Well, I appreciate you connecting us, because that was a great feat, and just a fun interview for me to get to talk to one of the great college coaches of our time.
Well, I guarantee you that guy will be in the Hall of Fame, that's for sure. I mean, his record is second to none. What a proven coach. And like I said, I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to be up in the stands, and I'm going to be calling the Hogs, and 100% behind Coach Jackson and Coach Persino for sure.
Well, you're very modest yourself. You're one of my favorite coaches as well, because you went from the JC to the Division I ranks, and you did it in a unique way, and I was very excited for you and what you did there at the University of Arkansas.
Well, thank you. I sure appreciate it. Thanks for having us, and hopefully we can check back in a year or so and have an update.
Yeah, that'd be great, Coach. I look forward to it.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We got two University of Arkansas coaches on the line today. We had Coach Andy Jackson. He is the new coach there at the University of Arkansas. And we had Coach Robert Cox. He is coach there at the University of Arkansas, both of the men's program. And we're excited to bring him, both of those guests, to you today. Now, next week, we've got Coach Dave Pascal. Dave and I tried to hook up a long time ago. We're going to get him back on the air. He's out at Embry-Riddle University, and we look forward to having his take on his national championship and what his team was able to accomplish this year. So we look forward to that visit. And for those of you that can get out today, go out and hit some tennis balls, and we'll look forward to seeing you back here next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.